A major leak of top-secret US intelligence files. They reveal Ukrainian military preparations and the Pentagon's thinking across a range of sensitive international issues. So how serious is this breach for the United States and its allies? And what impact might it have on them and on Russia? This is Inside Story. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Tom McRae. The Pentagon is dealing with the fallout from the worst leak of US national security intelligence in many years. Initial media reports said it involved classified US and NATO plans to help Ukraine in the war against Russia. But more information has since come out, with files relating to China, South Korea, the Middle East and Africa. The scale of the leak is increasing suspicion it came from an American source rather than from an ally. Russia has been accused of doctoring some files to create misinformation, and Ukrainian and South Korean officials have rejected some of what's being reported as false. The Pentagon says a hunt's been launched for the source. We'll be discussing the implications of all of this with three former intelligence agents shortly. But first, this report from Fintan Monaghan on the background to this leak.
An embarrassing security breach. The contents of classified United States defense documents revealed in news outlets across the country. The leak included insider analysis on the state of the Ukraine war, with assessments of the performance of both Ukrainian and Russian forces. Officials say they don't know the source, but suspect it may have been a high-level one.
These photos appear to show documents similar in format to those used to provide daily updates to our senior leaders on Ukraine and Russia-related operations, as well as other intelligence updates. Some of these images appear to have been altered.
The leak also reveals the existence of U.S. spying operations on allied countries like South Korea and Israel, an embarrassing revelation that sparked rebukes from abroad.
We strongly regret that the top U.S. intelligence agency has been illegally spying on allies like our country. We strongly demand a thorough investigation and urge that similar incidents do not occur.
U.S. diplomats are scrambling to repair the damage.
U.S. officials across the interagency are engaging with allies and partners at high levels over this, including to reassure them of our commitment to safeguarding intelligence and the fidelity of securing our partnerships.
The leaks come at a sensitive time. The state of Ukraine's forces has been revealed, just as it's believed to be preparing for a major counteroffensive against Russia. And U.S. diplomats are being disrupted after they've spent more than a year working on building up military support for Ukraine internationally. Until U.S. officials find the source of the leak, they can't be sure more secrets won't be revealed in the near future. Fintan Monaghan, Al Jazeera.
Well, for more on this, I'm joined by our guests. In Boston is Glenn Carl, career CIA officer and former deputy national intelligence officer for transnational threats. In Brussels is Annie Machon, former MI5 officer and author of The Privacy Mission. And in Kent is Colin Wallace, psychological warfare specialist and former member of British Army Intelligence in Northern Ireland. A warm welcome to all of you. Thank you very much for being on Inside Story today. Glenn, if I can start with you. As a former CIA officer, how embarrassing is this for US intelligence agencies?
Well, it's more than embarrassing. It's the term in the CIA for when an operation goes wrong is a flap, and this is a flap of a major magnitude. It will cause, I'm sure it already has caused, significant harm, and I expect that some people may well die from it.
What do you mean by that? Who will die from this?
Well, the reports don't say that an individual X is working for the United States, but it does say we have information of a certain nature on a given topic, and any counterintelligence service will be hastily and thoroughly now working out who has access to that information in their country and reducing the number of possible individuals, and it's quite possible that they could identify the sources. And depending on the country, that will damage or destroy their career or get them killed.
Are you talking about Russia specifically here?
Yes, yes.
So because of this leak, you think some of the Russian sources that have potentially been feeding information to US intelligence services, the consequences they face potentially include being killed?
I think that's very possible. I have in my career a number of colleagues, fortunately never any of the cases that I handled, but a number of my colleagues had sources that they were handling who were killed because of roughly equivalent breaches of our security in previous decades.
Mm. Annie, do you see it as being as serious as that as well?
I think it is. I mean, there are a number of different strands I would like to draw out of this conversation. First of all, the fact that the US secret services of any description apparently can't keep their secrets secret. We had the Vault 7 that came out of WikiLeaks. We had the shadow brokers trying to sell NSA cyber weapons online about 7 years ago. So this is one of just another leak, which I think is interesting because even going back to the Snowden leaks in 2013, which is a decade ago now, that was taken as read that they were authentic, whereas now what we're looking at are leaks which are being questioned and obfuscated by the US administration, saying, well, they might have been tampered with. You know, it's not what we're saying in public, or there might be sort of hacking or deep fakes or something like that. So it muddies the waters in terms of people's perceptions of where this information might have come from, how it might have been got out, and the impact it's going to have. So I think there are all sorts of different issues in play here. It's not just about the old spies not being able to keep their spyware secret. There's also the whole media manipulation going on here too, which I find fascinating and actually rather frightening.
Mm, well, hopefully we'll delve into some of those throughout the program. Colin, do you think that this is a US leak, a Russian hack, or a misinformation campaign?
Well, I think the old saying, perception is reality, is very important in my role. The key thing here is it doesn't matter whether this information is genuine or not, it's the impact it has on sources. Mm. Accurate sources are the lifeblood of intelligence. And if you consider yourself as a soldier in the Ukrainian army now on the front line, if he believes that information he and his colleagues may have shared with the Americans is now being compromised, that has a major impact on the level of trust that they have with America. And of course, that can affect the flow of information. And I think there's a really serious psychological problem here with this, whether that information is genuine or not.
What do you mean by a psychological problem? Can you expand on that, explain that a little bit for us?
When soldiers are in combat, they rely heavily on each other. And they rely also on the information that they're being given and the support they're given to protect them from harm. If they believe that support system has been compromised and that someone or group of people inside are failing to protect them by leaking information and therefore endangering them, that has an impact on the way they see one of their major allies, in this case, the United States of America. And in terms of morale, I can see that as a major problem.
Mm. Glenn, if we could just go back to where you think this leak might have come from. I mean, a number of these documents are labelled top secret, so presumably it is someone with, you know, very high clearance. How many people would have had access to these types of documents?
Well, unfortunately, in a couple of ways, I think I have some insight on that, and it's not encouraging news from my perspective an encouraging perspective. Yes, top secret is one of the higher levels of classification, although there are many, which will sound strange, but there are many classifications exponentially more sensitive than top secret. Top secret, mm-hmm. There are hundreds of thousands of documents shared with dozens of thousands of individuals in the United States National Security Establishment that are that are classified top secret. So that's part of the problem. Since 9/11, the attacks 22 years ago now, the intelligence community has ballooned. And in a particular way, it hired many independent contractors. I was a staff officer. I went through years of training prior to being commissioned essentially as an officer and then allowed to field, except to serve in the field other than under the supervision of a training officer. With the independent contractors, that isn't really the case. They may hire a retired officer like me and bring him or her back, or they'll hire someone who has linguistic abilities or forensic abilities and so on and so forth. But frankly, although it's stated that the standards and the requirements, obligations, and controls are the same for them, that is not really true. It's impossible to have the same level of security and devotion to mission when you have dozens of thousands of contractors with access to this kind of information. That's what Snowden was. That's what a couple of the other cases in the last 20 years of breaches have been. And I suspect that that is what is happening now. I have no, obviously, firsthand indications, but I recognize the information, how it's presented, the kinds of documents that we are seeing, and how the system functions. And that's what I suspect will have happened. And they are also easier, those individuals, for foreign intelligence services, specifically the Russians, to target and manipulate.
Andy, I see you nodding along there through what Glenn was saying. I mean, if it is someone from inside the US intelligence agencies or a contractor associated with them, why do you think someone in that position would maybe want to leak documents like this? Because they seem damaging to so many different countries, including Russia, as well as the US, obviously.
And also Israel and South Korea, as you said in your introduction, and various other countries. I think what we need to look at is the geopolitical tectonic plates here. You know, who is really fighting whom? And there have been a number of proxy wars. Glenn mentioned the, you know, post 9/11 issues and the beginning of the war on terror and the moral slide for the Western intelligence agencies that went helter-skelter down the route of torture and extraordinary rendition, kidnapping effectively, and all that sort of thing. And that did destabilize, I think, a lot of people's trust, even on the inside, in how our intelligence agencies are supposed to function. There has to be a proportionality in any democracy when it comes to our trust in these sort of organizations. And when it's, the pendulum swings too far one way, people begin to distrust. And I think that's what happened in the noughties and the beginning of the tens, and that's why Snowden evolved. He came out and said what he said. That's why other things were leaked to things like WikiLeaks or were leaked onto the dark web, the Shadow Brokers case. And I think that might be something similar here. So one, there is a generational issue, I would suggest, which is perhaps even going back to my generation, you know, growing up in the 80s, starting to work in the 90s, the idea that you would have a job for life and you would work for an organization, progress through it and be protected by it, compared to what younger people now face when they're coming up. And they might just be seen as contractors, a bit expendable, perhaps not vetted as carefully or whatever. There's that breakdown of mutual trust in terms of what the agencies they're working for can do and what the agencies can protect them with thereby. So I think there's all sorts of stuff here. It's not just the interpersonal. It's not just the way that we perceive mainstream media or we perceive whistleblowing, we perceive leaks. It's just a breakdown of trust, I think, which is really sad. And the key question really is, how can we rebuild this to adhere our societies again, you know, to build that trust again?
Annie was talking there, I guess, about trust between the public and these intelligence agencies. Colin, what about the trust between...
And the media.
And the media, yeah. Colin, what about the trust between countries? You know, obviously, Ukraine, Zelensky's come out and condemned these leaks and saying it's just part of a misinformation campaign. I mean, what about the trust between the US and Ukraine at this point in time? What does it do to that relationship?
Well, I think this is a major problem because a conflict such as Ukraine is not just a war about gaining territory. It's a war about the mind. It's about the minds of people throughout the world and how they perceive this conflict. And at the moment, the fact that you and I and endless other media outlets are talking and writing about this story shows that it is of great significance. The only people at the moment who must be feeling relatively happy about this are probably our friends in Soviet intelligence, because this is almost the perfect deception operation. What we have now got is this lack of trust, and it's absolutely right. If people's lives and well-being are on the line, and they suddenly feel that the people around them, particularly their superiors, are somehow incompetent or not caring about their well-being, then that is a major source for discontent, and all sorts of difficult things spring from that.
Glenn, I want to talk a little bit about the timing.
Sorry, I just wanted to say as well.
Yeah, no, jump in, Annie.
What Colin was saying, it's all about the. It's not just about the lack of trust. It's all about disillusionment, and perceiving the people, so-called superiors or whatever, in power, who don't actually really care about the interests of most people. They are more interested in self-serving. Now, I'm not saying that as a generalization, but I think that is a perception that most people are beginning to see, and that's why we're seeing an increase in populist movements, in disenfranchisement, and the riots that are happening, have been happening for years across Europe. And that's just a Western perspective, let alone, you know, what's going on in the rest of the world. So I think we need to take that bigger picture as well, and how people begin to feel manipulated and begin to feel a lack of trust. And that spills into our digital lives online, and how we can protect those too, which goes back to the media stuff and the disinfo stuff, Colin, which I totally agree with.
Yeah, well, Glenn, from an American point of view, I mean, obviously misinformation and disinformation and fake news has been widely discussed over the last 5 or 6 years in the US. How is this leak being viewed there, and has that affected trust between the public and US intelligence agencies and the media that are trying to provide correct and factual information?
Yeah, yes, on this point, which is a very important one, I think I differ a bit from our colleagues. I'm not surprised. I think that that there have been statements issued trying to cast doubt on the legitimacy of the documents, because when something bad has happened, all one can do really is to wave a shiny object someplace else or spread smoke or fog to try to muddy the perceptions, and in some vain hope that the information might not then be taken as accurate or acted upon as immediately. So that doesn't disturb me, although the implications potentially on the public's perceptions, as our colleagues have said, are grave, or potentially certainly grave. What this does to the perceptions of the U.S., I don't think that that's too much of an issue. The issue is a loss, perhaps, in faith is too strong a word, maybe, but in trust about the competence of the American services and the government, really. It's in my lifetime, sadly, that the perception of the government by Americans has gone from an assumption that it would do right and was serving our interests to one of wariness and cynicism. The reasons that go far beyond the intelligence world, but they affect the intelligence world. So that's really what would happen from the perspective of perception in the Americans. I don't see that as a huge issue. The issue is a more practical one that I see, which is that this is a an unfolding disaster for American intelligence and potentially policy, as these flaps are. I think to give some perspective on how serious the CIA and my colleagues and other intelligence agencies take this, the single most important element of our training, and is literally my training lasted years before I was allowed to go into the field, is to protect your asset. It's a cold-blooded term, but whether it's our the technical source, but always in my specialization, human sources. That's what you have to devote your life to protecting, because if they lose their trust in you, then they will not work with you. And if you make a mistake, they will die. It's taken extremely seriously. The slightest error, 1/1000th, 1/100000th, less serious than this breach, will destroy the career of myself or my colleagues, because that is the it's just like being a captain of a ship. It doesn't matter if you are not the agent of going, against the rocks. You are responsible, and so your career will be destroyed. It is the ultimate responsibility. So this is a serious issue, and that kind of devotion to mission, almost obsessive focus on responsibility, frankly, is not shared, inculcated, and can't really exist with people who come for a couple of years to get a credential or to think they're doing something exciting, as opposed to the nearly convent-like devotion, monk-like devotion of a traditional intelligence officer. And I know that is the case in my British colleagues. I've worked with them and in my French and every other service. It's essential, and it's a problem when it doesn't exist.
Yeah. Colin, I know you spent your career working with British Army Intelligence as a psychological warfare specialist. And as Glenn mentioned at the beginning of this program, about people's lives are now at risk because of this leak, with sources potentially within Russia that had been leaking potentially to the US intelligence agencies and the CIA, that they are now at risk. What will Russia be doing at this point in time? What will the Kremlin be doing at this point in time to try and stamp down on those leaks, stamp down on those people that may have been leaking to the US or their allies?
Well, I think the last speaker summed it up beautifully. You know, the source is the main weapon that the intelligence agencies have. It's about reliable, consistent information that we have regular access to. Now, once anything happens that changes that relationship or the perception of that relationship, damages the flow of information. And since I was in Northern Ireland, the world order has almost changed. We've seen the rise of China, the movement of Russia, new alliances being formed, and we're also in a world that communicates much faster. And I think in days gone by, when a lot of the contact was done face-to-face with people, now that is to some extent diminishing as the volume increases. We can handle vast quantities of information now compared with days gone by. But at the end of the day, intelligence, I believe, is a relationship between an individual and his or her handler. And once we lose sight of that, I think then lots of these problems that we're talking about begin to creep in, because we've lost our sense of value about what that world is about. It's not the world of James Bond. It's about sometimes very frightened people who are under pressure for all sorts of things, and they have to trust you. They're trusting you with their life. And once we suddenly seem to regard that as no longer important, I think we have a major problem on our hands.
Yeah. And I just want to talk a little bit about criticism of the Russian intelligence services. Many military analysts have said that the Russian military apparatus is so deeply compromised that the document suggests that US intelligence has been able to obtain daily real-time warnings on the timing of Moscow's strikes and even some of their specific targets. I mean, what do you make of Russian intelligence at this point in time and, I guess, from the beginning of the war till now?
I will answer this, but I do want to pick up on what Colin just said, because I absolutely agree. This is something I've been talking about for years, that the human intelligence, where you have people that you can task and who report back and you build up that relationship of trust, is the crown jewels of intelligence work. And you cannot put them at risk. That would just be bad on every level as a human being. So, yeah, I think this is something that does need to be nurtured. And I think it's something that WikiLeaks and other whistleblower websites have tried to protect, despite the disinfo that's come out about those sort of websites, in terms of obfuscating the identities of these people. Mm-hmm. In terms of the Russians, there has been, I would say, or suggest, a resurgence for at least 15 years about from the, you know, the new versions, FSB, SVR, blah, 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 the former KGB. And they seem to be, should we say, slightly less good at obfuscating their tracks and hiding their tracks, because they've been caught out a number of times in a number of cases. But they are seem to be just as ruthless. That's not to say that the Western agencies are not as ruthless and do not build a panoptic surveillance infrastructures, which is what Edward Snowden again disclosed a decade ago. Things with PRISM and around the Five Eyes network, which is, you know, the whole of North America and New Zealand, Australia, and the UK. So every country spies on every country. They do what they think is their best in their best interest. Some of it's misguided. Some of it is intrusive. Some of it is actually appalling ethically, which is what we saw in the immediate aftermath of 9/11 and the war on terror for most of the West. So we just need to keep that perspective open. Every country has its own national interest. Every country has these teams of organizations that try and do these things to protect that national interest. We might not agree with it. They would agree with what we're trying to do. But we shouldn't stigmatize whole populations because of what their governments and their secret intelligence agencies do. They are the innocent, and they're the ones that are victimized. And they are the ones, if they are very unfortunate, they get caught in the crossfires between particularly East and West, like Ukraine, like Syria, like Libya, like Afghanistan, like Iraq, and like many countries across Africa at the moment being asset stripped. So we need to think about that bigger picture and pull out. It's not just about spy versus spy. This has real, genuine impacts on millions of people and on all our data globally. And that's the sort of perspective we should try to remember when thinking about the smaller issues that we're talking about today.
Yeah. Just very quickly before we go, Glenn, what's going to be the long-term fallout of this leak in particular? Is it, you know, the people, the sources that Annie's been talking about?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question because it's an important one. And in a perverse way, it's sort of it's not a silver lining, but it's a relativizing perspective to have. But before I address that, just very, very quickly, to touch upon what does this imply about the Russian services, you know, the worse the society, the worse the system, the worse the government, the more opportunities there are for other intelligence services. So there's no surprise, and this is nothing new, that one can penetrate the Russians if one can gain access to them. A totalitarian system makes it harder. You know, it's a rotten system where there's a lot of corruption. And for all of the flaps and problems that the CIA has paraded in the media, you know, over the years, the CIA is very, very good, and the U.S. intelligence community, as are other countries too, at doing its job, which almost one never sees. So that's no surprise.
What is the long-term fallout of this leak in particular?
Yeah, relatively, the flaps occur, unfortunately, relatively regularly with all services. So this will blow over. The South Koreans will make a lot of noise because it's embarrassing that an ally is spying them. But then national interests, as our colleagues pointed out, will dominate, and things will return to people spying and working with each other simultaneously.
Okay, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you so much to all of our guests, Glenn Carr, Annie Michon, and Colin Wallace. Thank you very much for being on Inside Story. And thank you, too, for watching. You can see the program again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. And for further discussion, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is @AJInsideStory. From me, Tom McRae, and the whole team here, bye for now.